Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, and this is Jesus talking, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." As I was just standing there and the Lord began to bring this scripture to me, it's almost like we know that Jesus is in us, and so I'm not suggesting that he's not, that he's not. What I am suggesting is maybe there's some areas in your heart, some areas in your life that he's still knocking at. Does that make sense? That he's still saying, "Look, I'd actually like to come in and be involved in those areas in your life." And so I'm knocking and open the door. And one of those things we'll get into here in just a moment is I'd like to be expressed through you, and I'd like to be expressed in your giftings, and I'd like to be expressed in what I've called you to do. And perhaps tonight's the night for you to just step out into new things in me. And so, Father, right now, I just believe that as I was just sitting there worshiping and thinking that this is a word from you, that you just brought this in Jesus' name. And Jesus, you said that right now you're standing at the door, you're knocking. Open the door so that you can come in, and so that we can actually have an experience with you and live with you in even a new way, even beyond what we've experienced up to this moment. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm just going to encourage you right now just to, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Let's focus on him. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. He's just ready to go ahead and begin to kind of to be moving in your life right now. Wow, thank you, Father. So just go ahead and, you know, lay aside the distractions of what am I going to do tomorrow, and 4th of July is coming up, and you know, then I got to go back to work and all of that. No, you know what? It's time to just focus on right now. Just here in this moment, here right now. The King of Glory is here. The Kingdom of God is here. Whatever you need right now, he is here. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. And so just really just focus on him. Listen intently. What are the areas in your life that he's knocking on, and you know, perhaps you haven't opened him up to, or opened up to him right now in Jesus' name. Just take a moment. Just while they're playing, just in this moment, we're not going to sing or anything like that. Let's let the King of Glory come in. Just have a personal moment with him for the next minute or two. I'm not going to talk anymore. Let's just have a personal communion with him right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, minister to us. Father, we honor you. Jesus, we honor you. We glorify you. You're worthy. You're worthy. I'm going to have you go ahead and just be seated. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Just while we're still right here, just kind of in this atmosphere, I just want to take you on a little journey as we listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying tonight. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Man, I love the Holy Spirit. And what I want to do is I want to take the next few moments, and as we're focusing on Him, as we are listening to Him, you know, He's the source of life. He's the Prince of Life. He is everything that we need. Satan comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. And what? Have it more abundantly. We look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And so what I want you to do tonight is we kind of begin to, this is the first Wednesday of the month. What does that mean? This is Activate Wednesday, or Wednesday Activate for us. And so the things that we've been doing for the last 3 months, with just flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, stepping out in those things, learning what that is, we're really intentionally focusing on that on the first, definitely on the first Wednesday. We'll always have some component every Wednesday, but tonight is certainly kind of a focus there. So what? Thank you, Father. Are y'all ready for tonight? Oh, man. You know, I'm just going to transition to my other microphone here, guys. Let me turn it on here. Okay. So what we're going to do is, you know, to set this up for you that may be new, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 13 and 14, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. It talks about that there are the gifts that the Spirit of God, you know, different people minister in different ways, but it's all the same Spirit. And so it talks about the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, tongues and interpretation, a gift of faith, miracles, discernment of spirits. You know, there's nine total gifts. I probably missed a couple along the way. But the point is that we can operate in any of them because we all have the Spirit. And He's got all the gifts. And it really depends on what the situation is needed. And so that gets manifested. So 1 Corinthians 14 tells us, verse 1 says, pursue love. Somebody say, pursue love. So we're not pursuing gifts. We're pursuing love. And so as we pursue love, then he says, and desire spiritual gifts. All right? So it really sets us up. And as I was standing there during worship, I also was hearing this, you know, that it's that while Jesus says that, knock and the door, you know, open the door to him as he's standing there and knocking. I also saw some of you standing in a doorway needing to cross a threshold. Needing to say, you know, I'm here right at the edge, and this is where I've been comfortable. This has been where I've been comfortable in my church experience. This has been where I've been comfortable in my Christian life. And anything beyond that is uncomfortable for me and is brand new for me. And I don't know if I'm ready to step through that
door into what is the unknown. And so it really felt like that I heard the Spirit of God saying, some of you are standing at a threshold that you need to cross over. Because you'll only experience God to the level of your faith, to the level of what you believe, and you need to, you know, and for some of you, thank you, Father, it's a word. For some of you, your life with God, wow, I've never said this before. Your life with God started out in faith, but because your experience in Him has become so normal and so routine, it is now stopped. It's now stopped being a life of faith. It's become a life of convenience. It's become a life of this is what's normal. It's become a life of complacency, and it's become a life of experience. Faith always stretches into the unseen. Faith always stretches into more of Him. Faith, does that make sense? And so tonight's going to be fun as I'm talking about some of these things. Begin to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and get ready to cross that threshold to just greater and greater things in Him. Amen. So I'm just kind of provoking you and encouraging you into experiencing new things. And I'll also go on to say this. It says, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And he's talking about that inside of a corporate gathering, inside of a church family gathering like this, the gifts of the Spirit should be in operation. Okay? And so this is why we do what we do. I'll give you some guidelines in just a moment, but right now we're just going to focus on Him. Stay in this place. I also am very much aware of some things that are going on with different individuals, but also spiritually as well, that you are in a time of transition in your life. You are in a time of God, what are you saying right now? New jobs, new experiences, new things are coming. I've never been at this place before. And the Spirit of God is here right now to try to help you and say that you've got the grace for this transitional moment. The grace of God is in your life to help you and to carry you into this new season. We've got the Birmingham Grace Conference coming up at the end of the month, July 25th through 28th. And I was even talking to Rob about what's on your heart for this. This is the fifth annual conference for us. And he said, Mark, he said, I just hear the Lord saying that, and this was a month ago that we talked. And so God's just now bringing this back up. I hear the Lord saying that it's almost like we're crossing a threshold into new territories, into new realms of influence, into new experiences, into new places. And it's almost like we're leaving an era or a season behind to go forth into more of what God has for us. Now, he's just talking as the body of Christ. I believe it's also a word for those that are a part of this church as well, because we have seen rapid advancement this year in the things of the Spirit and in what the Lord is doing. But I want to say that right now that's a now word for you. That's a now word for some of you. You're in this transitional moment. You're at this threshold. And so don't wait to the end of the month to see whatever happens at the Grace Conference. Go ahead now, because faith is right now. Jesus is right now. Amen. So here's what we're going to do for the next 15 minutes. I'm going to read some scripture to you. That we're going to get ourselves out of the way for a moment. We're going to get ourselves out of the way. I had another plan tonight, but right there at the end of worship, the Lord just changed the whole direction. So we're going to get ourselves out of the way, and we're going to go through and take a little journey through the book of Revelation. Notice I did not say the book of Revelations, because it's not the book of Revelations. It starts out by saying the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is a revealing of Him. And so what I'd like to do, the Lord had me do this on May the 22nd, and it really just impacted me. And so, and I wrote all of this down as I was during a time of prayer, to go through and just see how they worship the Lord. What are the things going on in heaven? What are the things that different people are saying? And it was all about Him, and they weren't inserting themselves in the process. So can we kind of do that tonight? Can we just read through these scriptures and let's just get a picture of Him, the magnificent one, Jesus, the risen Savior, the one that has eyes with flames of fire, and out of His mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword, you know, and He's brilliant beyond description, and it says that His countenance is more than the strength of the sun. This risen Christ that overcame, that destroyed, and that completely destroyed the works of the devil, that completely rendered Satan powerless over your life, that completely conquered Satan, man, I'm telling you, in darkness, let's worship Him. Revelation 4:8. You know, other translations will say Revelations, but let's say it right. Revelation 4:8. The four living creatures. There were four living creatures. He saw the whole throne. Four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Can we think about that for just a second? It's kind of a weird picture that there's creatures with eyes everywhere in them. But here's the thing. Each eye is seeing a different aspect of God. You know, have you ever kind of closed one eye and then open the other eye, and depending on what your perspective is, you see the perspective a little bit differently. And so both eyes give you a 3D, a better picture of and depth perception of what's going on. You get to see. Can you imagine creatures that get to see every facet and aspect of God? And not only that, what they're seeing also is they're seeing He who dwells in eternity. And so as they're crying and as they're seeing this day and night, as they're seeing a perspective of God, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come, you dwell throughout all eternity. And then they get another glimpse of God. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. And then all of a sudden, another aspect, and all the eyes are beginning to see things differently. And it takes all four of them to even begin to comprehend this amazing entity that we call God, that literally is love. That literally is made up. I mean, He's just love. It's not that He has love. He is love. And you cannot possibly comprehend, thank you, Father, you cannot possibly comprehend the magnitude and the greatness of that love in and of yourself. It actually takes all of us. Consider this. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. And let's start around, let's try 19. I think we're going to end up going back a little bit further. But let's start there and let's see. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. Wow. Let's go back about to 14. Let's go back to 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. Always notice that that any time that you pray to God, any time that you're receiving from God, you're never doing it based on your resources and based on what you have. It's always in accordance and in the measure of His glory. It's in the measure of what He has. Okay? We've got to get out of our finite thinking and limiting God, and we got to start thinking infinitely to what God has and what He makes available. To be strengthened with might through His Spirit in your inner man. Let's keep going. Next verse. That Christ, check it out, may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, hold on for a second. I'm going to just throw out a rhetorical question for a moment. I thought that he was talking to the saints that be in Ephesus. If you look at chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 there, it tells you that this letter was written to the saints, to the Christians, to the church there in Ephesus. And so he's saying, I pray to God that he would grant you that Christ would dwell in your hearts. I think that if you ask them the question, does Christ dwell in your hearts? If I were to ask you that question, does Christ dwell in your heart? And we say, well, yes. Yes, he does. But I actually think that this may be showing us something that is that goes a little bit deeper, that we can allow our heart to get so filled with things that perhaps Christ isn't dwelling in our hearts. Christ is dwelling in our spirit. He's that joined to the Lord is one spirit. But out of your heart flows the issues of life. And so to the Corinthian church, Paul said, I'm travailing in the spirit. I feel like that perhaps I may have, you know, I may have missed the mark here. I'm travailing until Christ be formed in you. Christ was in them, but Christ wasn't being formed in them. Christ wasn't dwelling in their hearts fully. We can have double-mindedness. We can have, you know, hearts that are being torn in one direction or another. And so here, Paul is saying, I want Christ to dwell in your hearts. And it happens through faith. Now, check this out. That you being rooted and grounded in love, look at the next verse, you may be able, this is awesome, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, I want to go back two verses here. Back to verse 17. I want you to see something. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in what? Love. Look at the next verse. That you may be able, check this out, to comprehend, not by yourself, to comprehend with all the saints. Let me go around the room. There's a set of eyes that sees an aspect of the glory of God and the love of God. There's another set of eyes that sees a perspective. And he says, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. There's another set of eyes that sees a perspective. There's another set of eyes that sees another aspect of the love of God and just how good He is. There's another set of eyes. There's another set of eyes. You have a set of eyes. You have a set of eyes. All of us here, eyes, 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 eyes. But it takes your eyes to see a perspective of God that needs to be brought together as we bring it together and begin to say, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come, that we all together begin to get a picture we'll never fully comprehend, I don't think, until all of the saints get together at that final day. But to begin with, we begin. That's why you're not going to get a revelation of the love of God just by yourself. It will be incomplete. It'll be enough for you for a moment, but man, as we pursue love, it says he wants us to comprehend the width, the length, the depth, the height. Look at the next verse. To know and to know. To know, what does that mean? To experience. Not just to intellectually, it means to experience the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Can I submit to you right now that until we come together with the beautiful giftings that we have, with letting that measure, that aspect of the Spirit that we have together, and come together with regard to His love, that we'll never be filled with His fullness. But that God's design is for us to be filled with His fullness. Amen. Now look at verse 20. Now. Somebody say now. Now. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, yes, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. This is the gateway to experience God doing exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now let's go back to Revelation chapter 4. Verse 8, they do not rest day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Verse 10, there's 24 elders, and they fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him again, who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. You should adopt this language in your own worship to the Father. You receive glory. You're worthy, Father. Revelation 5, verse 8. Revelation verse 5, chapter 5, verse 8. Now when he had taken the scroll, he's talking about the Lamb that was slain, appeared before the throne. And quite frankly, if you were to look at this, I would say that this, you're getting an insight into the moment that Jesus ascended into heaven before His resurrection. That He came, I mean, it was as if He had just been slain, is what it said. And so now, as a result, it says, when He had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Notice this, your prayers, they have an aroma to God. That your prayers, they make up the fragrance in heaven, in the throne room of God. Whew. We need to be about praying about some things. Thank you, Father. They sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you've made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Wow. Verse 11. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Can you imagine millions of angels all saying this at once? "Worthy is the Lamb." Reminds me of that song, "Worthy is the Lamb." Wow. He was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. What does that mean? It means that Jesus now has all power, all riches, all wisdom. Jesus now has all strength, all honor, all glory, all blessing. Seven things. I mean, I'm telling you, whatever you need, Jesus has it all. Jesus has it all. Let's go down the list again. You need power in your life? Jesus is the source. That means if you need healing in your life, Jesus is the source. Do you need riches in your life? Do you need resources to do what He's gifted you and called you to do? Jesus is the source. "My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory." Jesus is the source. Do you need wisdom for your life? Do you need wisdom for your next step? Do you need wisdom for your family situation? Jesus has it all. Jesus is the source. Do you need strength? Do you need strength in your life tonight? Do you need to be strengthened in your inner man? Jesus is the source. He has all strength. He has all honor. He has all glory. And in that glory, there's an inheritance. Paul says I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of His glory, the riches of, how's that quote, somebody? The riches of what? Is it glory or inheritance? One of those. His glory in the inheritance. Is that the way it goes? Yeah. So what the riches of the glory of the inheritance, that's it, the riches of the glory of the inheritance, the glory of the inheritance that's in the saints. So all of that's in you. All of that's in you. It's Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Can we pull that up? I just don't want to misquote it. Ephesians 1, 18. Thank you, Father. Ephesians 1, 18. It's coming. Ephesians 1:18. Maybe I'll just read it. Here it is. "The eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches." I just wanted you to see this. "What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in," somebody say in.
Yes.
Not to, but in.
Yes.
The saints. This inheritance is in you. The glory of this is in you. You have untapped resources in you. Back to Revelation 5, 12. All strength, all honor, all glory. And check this out. And He has all blessing. Do you need your life to be blessed? Jesus has it all. He is the source of your blessing. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And then it goes on to say that the blessing, the next verse, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through faith. Jesus did this because God had abundantly blessed Abraham, and he wanted that same blessing to be in you, on you and in you, and now you carry that blessing everywhere you go. The source, Jesus is the source of that. And look at this. It goes on to say that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We're talking about the Spirit of God and activation tonight. And so that Spirit, thank you, Father, I mean, He is the Spirit of God on the inside of you produces blessing in your life. You can't have the Spirit without blessing. If you'll believe, if you'll trust, if you'll know, He's the source of it all. There's a river of blessing, of glory, of strength, all of those things that's available in you right now. I'm going to go for 8 more minutes and then we're going to move into some other things here. I'm just, I'm taking my time with it. So everything that I need flows from Him. He is in me. Get this. He is in me. And so everything that I need now flows from Him to my mind, to my heart, to my soul. Whatever I need starts in here, and He's in me. So what do? I begin to honor Him with those words. I begin to give Him praise. As I begin to focus on that, what it does is faith begins to rise, and then it releases those things and releases Jesus to do what He does best. Verse 13, Revelation 5, every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, every creature, man, all of creation, man, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders just couldn't stand it and just fell down and just worshiped. They're like, we're done. We're done. We're not even saying Amen. We're just worshiping Him again who lives forever and ever. All of creation, when this moment took place, all of creation reacted and said this. Whoo, man. Revelation 15, verse 3. Revelation 15, verse 3. Talking about the redeemed. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. There's a song of the Lamb saying, great and marvelous are your works. Man, this sounds like to me that they are magnifying God. Remember last week? Talking about what it means to magnify. It means to make Him greater. It means to make Him bigger. Like as you focus on Him, He becomes greater and bigger than the problem that you've been focusing on, than the problem you've been talking about. You magnify Him. He becomes greater and bigger. How do you do that? You by talking about what He's done, by talking about His greatness, by talking about His goodness, and just putting into remembrance the things that He has done in your life. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God. God Almighty, just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, and all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. And then after these things, I looked, behold, the temple of the tabernacle and the testimony in heaven was open. Father, we pray that right now, these beautiful words in the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we focus on you. You are so good. You're worthy of everything. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Exactly as I received it. There is no battle. There is only the victory. I have overcome the enemy, and you are now more than conquerors. Not more able to fight. There is no fight anymore. You say, what about the good fight of faith? First of all, it's good. And second, it's a fight to renew the mind, not to battle the enemy. Be deceived no more. The enemy has been defeated. His authority in your life has been eradicated.
That's right.
Which means plucked up by the roots, rooted out, totally destroyed.
Mm.
From the moment you were reborn into my kingdom, you were forever free. The enemy has no power over my children. The enemy has no power over my children. The enemy has no power over my children. But my children have my power and my authority over him. He is the fearful one, and he is very afraid.
Ooh. Come on, man. That's a word right there. Yeah, that was worth the wait right there. That's awesome. So I want to piggyback off of that into something very quickly, because I've been having this conversation with different pastors, with different people, and so I want to make sure that you guys understand that there's a very clear distinction between the way sometimes that church talks about victory and what it should look like and what they think it looks like versus what it actually is. So listen to me very carefully. Most people try to live their life overcoming Satan or overcoming sin. There is a difference between overcoming sin and being free from sin. There's a difference between trying to overcome darkness and being completely free and removed from darkness. And for too long, we have allowed to happen in the church as a mindset that we are trying to overcome temptation, we're trying to overcome testings and trials, we're trying to overcome, and you know, the devil, we're trying to, and so we have an overcoming kind of mentality that is about this battle that I'm constantly in, when Jesus said, he whom the Son makes free is free. Jesus said, you're not just a conquering person, you're more than a conqueror. He's the one that's already conquered. And so our mindset has to get renewed to the fact that he's declared us to be free, and he has all power, he has all authority, he has, you know, all strength, everything to actually, the Spirit of God has all of that on the inside of you to enforce the will of God in your life. Amen. That when we talk about the love of God and we talk about, man, I'm feeling the boldness of Jesus right now for a moment, so listen to me. That when we talk about the love of God, guys, the love of God is a sharp two-edged sword. Now, we know that the Word of God is, but you cannot separate the Word of God from the love of God. Why? Because in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. And God is what? Love. So you can't say, well, this part of God's the Word, and this part of God is love. The two are the same. Love is a sharp two-edged sword. That while what happened is as you experience the love of God and open your heart to him, the love of God will heal the brokenhearted. The love of God sets free from sin, addiction, and from whatever other issues you've got going on in your life. The love of God destroys fear. It says that perfect love, what? Cast out all fear. The love of God does it. The other side of it is that where the love of God comes is that it is destroying the works of darkness. There's a destructive side to the love of God. It's not to you. The destructive side is as it goes through, as it's received, it begins to actually destroy and cause the works of darkness to be disintegrated in your life. It actually comes in, and anything that is not of Him, anything that is not of His kingdom, anything that is not like Him and that doesn't belong in His realm, anything like that, it gets absolutely taken care of, absolutely destroyed, absolutely cast out, absolutely dealt with in your life. That I would like for you to see the Lord God Jesus Himself, a mighty King, mighty in battle, mighty, mighty, but not battling us, not battling our flesh, not battling those things. But He is, you're allowing the finished work of what Jesus did, the Holy Spirit, because He shed the Holy Ghost. It says the love of God is being shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And as it does that, it roots out everything that is not of Him. It comes in and totally obliterates. The fire of God obliterates the things that don't belong to Him. Glory to God. So that all that is left is purity and righteousness and holiness and salvation and healing and deliverance and everything that you need. It comes straight out of the love of God. Amen. Amen. So yes, His eyes can be flames of fire. The power of God rooting out everything that is not of Him. If you will believe, if you will trust. Father, right now in Jesus' name. Jesus, as we open up our hearts, Jesus. As we say yes to You, Jesus, we receive out of Your mighty love that goes in and absolutely roots out and is manifested in our lives to destroy every work of the devil, every work of darkness, in Jesus' name. Thank You, Father. Thank You. We are whole. We are complete in You. Thank You, Father, that healing comes because of Your love. Thank You, Father, for the wisdom that we need for our lives. Thank You, Father, for direction in Jesus' name. Thank You, Father, for the grace for transitions in people's lives today. Thank You, Father, for rest to weary souls. Thank You, Father, for strength for those that have been worn out. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father, we receive in Jesus' name.